Good evening, everybody. This is H.V. Kaltenborn speaking to you from NBC's booth at the Chicago Convention of the Democratic Party. We are here tonight to nominate a vice president and to hear from the President of the United States, who last night was nominated for a third term. Already, Representative Stegall of Alabama has nominated Speaker Bankhead of the House of Representatives, and a demonstration of considerable size followed. Howard Bruce of Maryland nominated Jesse Jones in a recordly brief speech of 2 minutes. Frank O'Connor of Dubuque nominated Jesse Jones. The senior senator of Colorado, Alva B. Adams, also nominated. President Roosevelt will not speak until the convention work is over, may not speak unless Secretary Wallace is nominated as his running mate.
Keep tuned to this station for further convention news.
We announced earlier this evening that the President of the United States would speak at this time. Since then, the National Broadcasting Company has been informed that the President has deferred his address until after the Democratic Convention in Chicago has nominated their vice presidential candidate. Keep tuned to this station, therefore, until such a time as the President is ready to address the Democratic Convention by radio.
My time.
Seal Test System of Laboratory Protection presents Rudy Valley.
Your time is my time.
With Slapsy Maxie Rosenblum, lovely Gracie Berry, and Walter O'Keefe.
There's no time like our time, and no one like you.
Well, Maxie, you spend a solid week here at my lodge in Maine. Tell me frankly, how do you like it?
Mr. Valley, I have had a wonderful time. And I feel obligated to confess that you have been a wonderful hostess.
Hostess? Maxie, if you'll excuse my correcting you, I'm sure you don't mean to say that I'm a wonderful hostess.
How would you say it?
I'm a wonderful host.
Go on, brag.
No, I'm not bragging. I'm only attempting to teach you something about the English language, the mother tongue. You know, of course, why they call it the mother tongue.
Because father never gets a chance to use it.
Maxie, sometimes you are incorrigible. You're careless, inattentive, slipshod, dilatory, and obnoxious.
Now I'm mad. You left out cute.
There's no excuse for your mispronouncing words and garbling the English language. The word host is masculine. It's only when you're referring to a lady that it becomes hostess.
Oh, now I get it. For instance, I could say Spanish is pretty, but I like English mostest.
Mostest. The word is most. Why do you say you like the English language mostest?
Because English is the mother tongue, and mothers is ladies. That's why.
Maxie, when you decided to fight the English language, you were overmatched. But this masculine-feminine business is really very easy to understand. Just remember that the word host is masculine. Hostess is feminine.
Oh, now I got it. It's like this. Tonight for dinner, I'm going to have pot roasters.
Pot roasters?
Yeah, pot roasters. My wife is cooking it, and nobody's going to tell me she ain't a feminist.
You know, sometimes you act as if you were a child.
You mean I never growed up?
Growed up? What's the matter with you? Grown.
Oh!
Will you answer that, please? I'm expecting a call from Walter O'Keefe.
Yes, sir, Mr. Valley. Hello?
Hello, is Rudy Valley in?
Say, you don't have to yell. Do you know what happened to my ear?
Yes, what happened to your ear shouldn't happen to a cauliflower.
Who is this?
Walter O'Keefe.
If you continue to poke fun at me, Mr. O'Keefe, I will have no alternative but to hang up. Then you will have wasted your nickel.
What nickel? I'm talking with a slug.
I beg your pardon?
I said I'm talking with a slug.
Not anymore. I'm an actor now.
Max, you mustn't hang up on people like that. Alexander Graham Bell never intended his telephone to be used as you use it.
Is this Alexander Graham Bell? Whatever I'm talking about. Is this Alexander... I'll be all right. Is this Alexander Graham Bell's telephone?
Yes.
Then how come you get the bill?
Maxie, don't tell me you don't know who Alexander Graham Bell was. He struggled with the telephone for 6 years.
Did he get his party or did they return his nickel?
Let me put it this way. Do you know who invented the telephone?
Yes, sir.
Who?
Don Amici. That's right. He stayed in an attic and lived on cheese and apples, and he worked like a dog, he did.
The telephone was invented before Don Amici was born.
And nobody told the poor fella?
Actually, the telephone was invented in 1876.
You mean there was no telephone before 1876?
That's right.
Then how come we just got a bill for 1875?
Hello, fellas.
Walter O'Keefe. I didn't hear you come in.
Why, of course you didn't, Rudy.
But on the radio, when someone enters, we're supposed to hear a door slam.
Well, the sound effects man is kind of tired tonight, so he's using a revolving door.
Walter, you remember the prize fighter, Maxie Rosenblum?
Why, of course I do. Hello, Ducky.
Ducky? You call Maxie Rosenblum the prize fighter, Ducky?
Yeah, canvas back.
I warn you, Mr. O'Keefe. Don't get me mad on you. You know what happened to Galetto?
Yes.
You know what happened to Godoy?
Yes.
Do you think that'll happen to me?
Walter, I've been attempting to enlighten Maxie on the history of the telephone. Perhaps it would help if you told a couple of telephone jokes.
Jokes? Is this a comedy program?
Haven't you ever heard it?
You answer me, then I'll answer you.
At any rate, I believe the telephone is... There. Doesn't the ring of that telephone give you a feeling of excitement? We have no idea who it is. Perhaps it's adventure. It may be romance. Perhaps it's a big deal that'll change the course of our entire lives.
Let me answer it, Rudy. Hello? What? Yes. Yes, I'll tell Mr. Valley. Oh, I'll gladly tell him. Delighted. Thank you very much.
What was it?
The phone company says pay up or they'll shut it off. Letting a phone bill run for 4 years. Come on, Rudy. If you're going to be Alexander Graham Bell, let's get into your dream.
Right.
Meet me tonight in dreamland under the silvery moon. Meet me tonight in dreamland where love's sweet roses bloom. Come with the love light gleaming in your dear eyes of blue.
Dreamland,
sweet dreaming
dream. There let my dreams come true.
Open up the door, Alexander Bell. Soon I've come for the rent money. Open up and be quick about it.
All right, come in. You certainly don't mean that for a few paltry dollars you'd eject me.
Sure, and it's that I mean. As sure as me name is Kathleen O'Brien O'Maloney O'Gallagher O'Flaherty O'Screwdriver.
O'Screwdriver?
Yeah, O'Toole. Now, have you got the money or not?
Not.
Then hit the ramp, you tramp.
If only I had the money for the rent. That must be the manager of my stockroom, Stocksy Moxie.
Here you are, boss. I sold some things, and I got 40 cents.
My dear Maxie, do you really mean to say that for all the clothes I gave you, you received only 40 cents?
No, Bell. I really got 50 cents, but on the way home, I spent 10 cents.
You spent 10 cents?
Yeah, on the way back, I passed a bakery, and the bakery had some cakes in the window, and the cakes made my mouth water.
So what did you do?
I spent the 10 cents for a blotter.
When are you going to settle down and help me with my telephone?
Boss, I know I'm not an intellectual giant, but I don't seem to comprehend just what we're doing.
We're trying to earn a living by experimenting with certain sound waves, which are propagated by progressive longitudinal vibratory disturbances, which are turned into sensations due to stimulation of the auditory nerves by vibrations transmitted through various and sundry electrical media.
That's how we're making a living?
Yes.
No wonder we're starving.
Maxie, I'm well aware that telephone experiments are also being made by my rival, Walter O'Keefe. If he succeeds, he will also win the hand of my sweetheart, Mabel. I must complete the invention before he does.
Do you think you can do it, boss?
I make no empty promises. I'll show these doubting Thomases that I can telephone to Tokyo. I'll vindicate my vanity, I'll benefit humanity, and incidentally make a lot of do-re-mi. So let's complete the telephone, but do it strictly on our own, and prove O'Keefe is just a so-and-so. Oh, his talk is all baloney, for his phone is just a phony, and the thing he's talking through is his chapeau.
Yes, the thing he's talking through is his chapeau.
Come in.
Alexander. Darling.
Mabel. Oh, you shouldn't have come to this miserable garret.
Why not, my dearest? After all, I love you.
Oh, darling, it's no use. I'm just a numble inventor, and you're far above me in station.
Oh, I don't know. Just what is your station?
Well,
Well, what are you waiting for?
I'm pausing for station identification. Darling, I hate to admit it, but I haven't even enough money to buy a new transmitter for my telephone. It costs about $10.
$10? Don't worry, darling. I'll let you borrow $10. Here it is. Now write me out a receipt.
A receipt? Dearest, you don't seem to realize that I'm Alexander Graham Bell.
Yes, I do. I realize you're Alexander Graham Bell.
Then why do you need a receipt?
Darling, you're also Rudy Valley.
Yes.
Seriously, Alexander, Father's beginning to lose interest in your telephone, and he's turning his attention toward your rival, Walter O'Keefe. And to tell the truth, I rather like O'Keefe.
Darling, you don't really like him, do you?
No. It's just because he's so much like you.
Like me?
Yes, dear. Last night he called for me at 8 o'clock, just like you. Then he took me for a walk, just like you. Then he bought a chocolate soda, just like you. With 2 straws, just like you. But when we began sipping that soda together, I knew he was different from you.
Why?
Halfway down, he stopped to take a breath.
O'Keefe will never steal you from me, my precious. And I go this very moment to tell him so. Mark well this night, my darling. For from this night on, you are mine. And mine alone. Deep night. Stars in the sky above, moonlight lighting our place of love. Night winds seem to have gone to rest. Two eyes brightly with love are gleaming. Come to my arms, my dear one, my sweetheart, my own. Vow that you love me always and be mine alone. Night, whispering trees above, kind night, bringing you nearer, dearer, and dearer. Deep night, deep in the arms of
summer days, everybody wants desserts that are cooling and refreshing.
You're right, Mr. James, but I've solved that problem this month with Lime Glow Sherbet. Your Seal Test Company certainly had an inspiration when they created that thrilling combination of refreshing lime juice and ripe pineapple. I guess I've served it in a dozen different ways already.
Well, suppose you tell us some of those ways.
Well, as an appetizer, I've served it in sherbet glasses with a sprig of mint. For a company dessert, I scooped the centers out of grapefruit halves and filled them with Lime Glow Sherbet. And at an afternoon bridge party, I cut gingerbread squares and piled Lime Glow Sherbet on top. For the family, I've served it often with sliced fruits and with cake. It lends itself to all sorts of attractive combinations.
Folks, Lime Glow Sherbet is the Seal Test supervised sherbet for July and is available for this month. It is sold only by dealers and at fountains which feature Seal Test supervised ice cream. So enjoy it often, but insist upon genuine Lime Glow Sherbet. Be sure to look for the red and white Seal Test symbol when you buy milk and other dairy products, too. It gives you added assurance of purity and quality. A little later, we'll tell you where to buy Seal Test Supervised products in your community. But now back to the story of Alexander Graham Bell. We peek in at the home of his rival inventor, Walter O'Keefe.
Mr. O'Keefe, if you expect to get your telephone invented before Mr. Bell, you better get busy.
All right, Miss Burlap. Let's get on with the experiment. I got a new coil of wire this morning.
Copper?
No, I bought her. You just stand here and hold this copper wire while I turn on the electricity.
Oh, I'm shocked. Mr. O'Keefe, do you realize that I've been subjected to these electric shocks for over a year now?
Yes, and tell me, doesn't all that electricity have any after effect on you?
Not a bit. No. Of course, once in a while I go...
Miss Burlap, you've got Watts in your klutz.
Talk, claiming you're inventing the telephone when you know you steal all of your ideas from Alexander Graham Bell.
Miss Burlap, that's a pretty serious accusation to make against your... I guess you realize that you're fired.
Okay, pay me my 2 years back salary.
Had you worried, didn't I?
Well, you start worrying. Here comes Alexander Graham Bell.
I understand that you're trying to steal my telephone before it's invented.
Don't be a dumbbell. I wouldn't do a low, mean, despicable thing like stealing your telephone before it's invented.
You wouldn't?
No, I'll wait. Don't forget, Bell, I've worked on the telephone, too.
When? Why, even as far back as our freshman year in college, you were going out with the girls while I was struggling with the telephone. And it was the same in our sophomore, junior, and senior years. You went out with the girls while I struggled with the telephone. You didn't have to struggle.
You've never gone out with college girls. Remember, Bell, I worked on the telephone before I started going with girls from the time I was born, my natal day. Until I started going with girls, I worked hard. Those were 3 good years.
O'Keefe, I'll bet you don't know the first thing about the telephone. Frankly, I think you're a bluff.
Bell, that's an insult. You're the first man who has questioned my integrity today. I should thrash you within an inch of your life, and I would, too, if you weren't my best friend.
I'm not your best friend.
Don't tell me who my friends are.
O'Keefe, you've tried to steal not only my telephone, but my girl. You're nothing but a bag of wind and a parasite.
Them's fighting words, partner. But there happens to be a lady present. Would you care to step outside?
Yes.
All right. Well, I got rid of him.
Shame on you. I believe you're afraid of Mr. Bell.
Me afraid? Why, I'm not afraid of anything that swims, flies, or crawls.
Then why didn't you hit him?
He doesn't swim, fly, or crawl. He croons.
Alexander, my darling.
Mabel, my beloved.
Ah, Mabel, honey.
You look wonderful, radiant, beautiful, so slim and slender and soigné and fragrant. Did your father send me a check?
No.
Gee, you've put on weight, haven't you? Mabel, I can't for the life of me understand what you see in Alexander Graham Bell. After all, what has he got that I haven't got? He parts his hair about the same as I do. The clothes we wear are very similar, too. It isn't fair that I get no place with you. What has he got that I haven't got?
I'm not a super intellectual whiz. I have my faults.
But they're no worse than his.
I wish I knew just what this charm of his is. What has he got that I haven't got?
We both create inventions. We both state our intentions.
But think of all the time that you've been marking.
We both have desires and we're both live wires.
But Alexander Graham is the one who does the sparking.
Had the run around, you know that you're through.
My heart is big, but there's no room for two.
Then tell me frankly, as we say, toodaloo. What has he got that I haven't got besides you?
Well, boys, Father has decided to have a contest between you two to see which one has really invented the telephone.
Oh, I'll win easily. My telephone is practically complete.
My telephone is practically completed.
My telephone can make a long-distance call.
My telephone can make a long-distance call.
My telephone is the result of long hours of honest labor.
My telephone can make a long-distance call.
The winner of the contest will receive my hand and a check.
Darling, all I want is your hand, the hand with your heart in it.
And you, O'Keefe, do you want my hand?
Yes. I'll take the one with the check in it.
Come on, Mabel, I'll walk home with you. So long, O'Keefe. I'll see you at the contest. I'm going home now and get my batteries charged up.
That's the idea, son. Don't get caught with your batteries down.
Darling, what if Walter O'Keefe's telephone works? Then you and I can't be married.
Don't jump at conclusions until I've spoken to your father.
Well, if you can handle father as smoothly as you handled me, Alexander, I won't be worried. Of course, it's very plain to see that.
You're an old smoothie. I'm an old softie. I'm just like putty in the hands of a boy like you. You're an old meanie. I'm a big goofy. I just go nutty in the hands of a boy like you.
For me.
Oh, you played me for a
for you.
You thought you laid a trap. Well, dear, I guess it's time you knew. You done just what I wanted you to.
You have done what you wanted you to. Now you know you met your Waterloo. You did it just the way she wanted you to. Cause you.
Now, I know many of you are waiting to hear where to buy Lime Glow Sherbet. So here we go to all those communities where seal tests, supervised milk and ice cream are sold. Ready?
In New York City and suburbs, the seal test supervised milk is Sheffield Farms. The ice cream is Hydrox. In Staten Island, the ice cream is Kessel's. In New Jersey, it's Kessel's and Moglia. And that luscious lime glow sherbet is waiting for you at Hydrox, Kessel's, and Moglia ice cream dealers. Why not send out for a pint or two and top off the evening with this delightful blend of juicy limes and ripe pineapple? And for refreshing desserts these July days, serve lime glow sherbet with fruits or cake. Be sure to ask for Lime Glow, the only genuine seal test supervised lime pineapple sherbet of the month. The Sheffield Farms Company suggests you try Select homogenized milk, containing 400 added units of vitamin D. It's seal test supervised. Now on to the Hall of Science, where Alexander Graham Bell prepares to demonstrate his telephone.
Maxie, you've arrived just in time to help me put the finishing touches on my telephone before the demonstration begins. Now, just hold this wire in place. You can hold it between the top of your fingers and your cuticle.
Huh?
Your cuticle. Your cuticle!
You're kind of nice yourself.
Be serious. This is an important moment in my career. In a few minutes, I will have to pit my talents as an inventor against those of O'Keefe. Maxie, help me a little, will you? Get me a mouthpiece.
Mouthpiece? What is this, gangbusters?
That must be Mabel. Come in.
Alexander, I've come to wish you good luck.
Thanks, darling. Just a moment. Maxie, I want to be alone with Mabel. Will you just S-C-R-A-M?
Huh?
Will you just S-C-R-A-M?
I would, boss, only I'm just leaving.
Mabel, my dearest one.
I'm terribly worried. In a few minutes, you and O'Keefe will test your telephones. Darling, suppose you should fail.
Don't worry. I promise you that, though I'm no Gable, I'll buy you a sable and a horse and a stable as soon as I'm able, and this is no fable, Mabel.
But will there always be milk on the table?
Yes, with a seal test label.
Oh, Alex.
Darling, I simply must be successful in this demonstration today, not only for posterity, but for you. I couldn't bear the thought of your being married to O'Keefe.
Neither can I. But Father seems to think he's a catch. He says if I marry O'Keefe, I'll be bringing home the bacon.
O'Keefe isn't bacon, but he's mighty close to it. O'Keefe.
Well, 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 Alexander Graham Bell. This ought to be the biggest day of the year for you. Did you hang up your stockings last night?
Don't be so smart, O'Keefe. This isn't Christmas. I hang up my stockings only once a year.
You must have a messy bedroom.
All right, O'Keefe. You've a lot of nerve putting your telephone up against mine. What do you know about the study of electricity? What kind of foundation have you?
Foundation?
Yes.
I think it's a two-way stretch.
That's no way to talk about Alexander Graham Bell. He's a big man, and he'll prove it when he demonstrates his telephone.
Oh, no. Alexander Graham Bell a big man?
Yes, he is.
When I get through with him, he'll look so small, they'll call him Alexander Graham Tinkle.
If you're so smart, O'Keefe, why don't you go ahead and give us a demonstration of your telephone?
You ask for it, Bell. Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness the most sensational invention of all time. The first and only telephone in the world. Listen, I'll drop in a nickel.
Hooray for the Democrats! Hooray for the Democrats!
What's the matter?
I must have stuck in a Jefferson nickel. Hello, operator. Get me Schuyler 3353.
Sorry, that lion is busy.
Then get me Riverside 0610.
That number has been disconnected.
Then what can you get me?
If you look like anything like you sound, I can get you 3 weeks at Ripley's Auditorium.
Look, my dear girl.
O'Keefe, it's very plain to see that you're a fake, an unmitigated fraud. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with your kind indulgence, I shall demonstrate my telephone. Maxie, is everything ready?
Yes, sir.
Then I shall throw this switch, and you will witness the birth of the telephone. Listen.
Well, Bill, that was really swell. Let me be the first to congratulate you.
Alexander, darling, your telephone is a success. And now we can be married.
Yes, dearest. We'll be married, and the telephone that I've invented will be an indispensable part of our home life, just as it will be to millions of other young American couples.
What do you mean?
Well, in a little while, I'll call the jeweler for a ring, the parson for a ceremony, Niagara Falls for reservations. Later on, we'll be calling the real estate man for a house, the architect for a nursery, and then a little later, there'll be just one more call.
What is it?
Calling Dr. Kildare! Calling Dr. Kildare!
It would be an unpardonable oversight not to take advantage of this opportunity to pay serious tribute to the telephone industry, a vital link in the chain of American progress. Telephone service has reached the very peak of mechanical development. Today alone, more than 92 million phone calls were completed in America. If you should call any one of those busy lines right now, this is what you would hear. Busy rhythm, things are really humming. Busy rhythm, better times are coming. Here's our mission, no depression.
That's the story of America.
No one berserk, machinery is a buzzing. Lots of work for everybody's cousin. Trains on highways, planes in skyways.
That's the story of America. So hail to democracy,
the haven of freedom. We'll have no foreign ideology.
They can keep their Islams over there.
We don't need them.
We don't need them.
Busy rhythm, motors are a-whirring. Busy rhythm, dynamos are purring. We're for peace and quiet. We've no urge to riot.
But we'll be ready if and when somebody wants to try it. That's the spirit of America.
Busy rhythm.
I again extend to you all a cordial invitation to visit the SEAL Test Building when you come to New York World's Fair. See for yourself how SEAL Test men in white supervise the processing of milk, ice cream, and other dairy products. See the laboratory tests which help to safeguard quality and purity. And so until next Thursday when we present the adventures of Don Quixote, this is Rudy Valley saying au revoir, request SEAL Test, and good night. The Valley Company continues on at the Strand Theater for its second week.
Companies are subsidiaries of National Dairy Products Corporation.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.